Mini-episode 1937 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode 1937. You have with you here today, FDH Lounge managing partner Rick Morris. And we have a tremendous guest with us here today to talk about a subject that we have dipped into from time to time over the course of the show. And that is the state of terrestrial radio, what he knows about it. And that is a considerable amount. This gentleman, Mike McVay, has a considerable career in radio, doing programming, doing consulting, doing an awful lot to shape the landscape in many different markets, such that Barrett Media introduced, I believe, at the end of June, beginning of July, the Mike McVay Award at the 2026 Barrett Media Audio Summit. And it was something to, again, acknowledge the career that he has had in the broadcasting genre and to honor others who are following in those footsteps. And again, I have to say that as the world of radio has evolved, it has gotten to be increasingly opaque to me, and I suppose probably to a lot of the folks in our new media audience here on this show, where nothing is off topic. We love delving into many different subjects here, but this is a particular area of curiosity of mine. Because when this show first started in 2007 in new media, and at the time with the late lamented Sports Talk Network, and doing a show that sort of mirrored what terrestrial radio was doing with actual shows on at different times before we moved into podcasting, it was thought that, like, well, you get to a certain point and terrestrial radio, the way the technology is moving, will probably be in the dustbin of history. And we are nowhere near that point in 2026. And the gentleman who knows all about that from his career is Mike McVay. And it is a tremendous pleasure to have you on the show, Mike. Thank you so much for being here today.
Rick, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so, so much.
Well, we love having conversations with folks who are authorities in their field, who can really speak to what's going on with their field. So, again, just to give the listeners will hear a little bit on this here, talk about what your journey has been and how you have sort of evolved along with the broadcasting industry over the years here as your career has progressed and the lessons that you've drawn from it.
Well, I mean, geographically, I lived all over the place from the Pittsburgh area to begin with. Radio was the original foundation of my career. And so I did Pittsburgh, Wheeling, Charleston, Louisville, San Diego for a cup of coffee, Los Angeles, and Cleveland. And actually, I was in Cleveland a very short time, a year. Went to Mobile, Alabama for a year as a general manager, and then came back to Cleveland as a general manager. Launched McVay Media three plus decades ago, and have, as a company, consulted over 200 stations around the world. That evolved and changed a lot. Another company I'm sure you're familiar with, Futuri, is one that I was fortunate to be a partner with the original founder, Daniel Ann Standig, when it was called Listener Driven Radio. Podcasting, coaching talent, working with artists, singers, and songwriters, video, be that YouTube or television. If it's a medium, somehow involved somewhere.
Absolutely. And I believe I saw somewhere in the bio information that one of our past show guests, a gentleman that you had done some work with, John Oates.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Hall & Oates I worked with for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. John Oates is a wonderful guy, great songwriter, really strong singer, very good musician, and just a good human. as I'm sure you found from interviewing him.
Absolutely. Now, I found that to be the case, and it was a tremendous pleasure to be able to have him on, and many thanks to the FDH New York Bureau for having booked that conversation, as with the conversation here today. So in terms of the state of radio and in terms of what you have seen as it has evolved over a period of time, it's really one of those things where, again, I find personally as a pundit, I've been wrong about what the future held for radio as I was for broadcast TV. And I understand it a little bit better on the TV side. And I've acknowledged on the show where I was wrong about that. And that is, and you hear a little bit in the news these days, that as the next NFL contract comes up, how existential a matter it is for the networks. And I think back in, say, the mid-20-teens, I thought that the NFL would be on, you know, some combination of Netflix, YouTube, et cetera. I didn't think that the networks would still have it, but they do. And ultimately, a lot of people, myself included, believe that that's what's held the networks together, is the ability to be able to billboard the programming during the week and to be a necessity in people's lives. On the radio side, it's a little bit harder, I think, for most of us who are not in the business to really see how that has sort of defied the expectations over a period of time. You start with satellite radio becoming available in people's cars, and then subsequently now the ability to access podcasts very easily. Really, anything off the internet can be accessed very easily in cars. And a lot of people thought that that would be the death knell. And radio is continuing to linger as a force, you know, to whatever degree. And I'm sure what that degree is, you can speak to as well. But what's your sense of how the business has evolved and how it has defied these sort of predictions of doom that myself and a lot of people had made for it 15, 20 years ago?
Well, radio is still very strong, as you just alluded to it. But there was a time when 95% of all Americans age 12 and above listen to the radio at some time every week. Now that number is about 80 to 85%. And so in raw numbers, it's more people today than it used to be, simply because of population growth. But in percentages, it is dropping. Now, here's the big thing, and something I preach a lot. Media has to be multi-platform. I can listen to a radio in my car on an over-the-air radio. I can listen in my office at home, on my laptop, on my smart speaker, on an app on my phone. And so the more portability radio has, the better, because that's where everything else is. To your point, I can jump in my car, put on Fubo, and listen to a football game that's a television broadcast while I'm driving because my Apple CarPlay kicks in. Radio needs to maximize its presence on all of those platforms, and smart broadcasters are. A lot of other things to factor in are podcasts. Podcasts have allowed radio to become radio on demand. So I can listen to my favorite show live, or I can listen to it in bites. And podcasting, podcasts like this one, have actually brought people back to audio. But now, as you can see, video is an important part too. So I have some favorite podcasts. I listen to them all without the video, but they all have video available to them.
Oh, that's interesting. And the notion that, in some ways that might, what you're talking about might be feeding the ongoing ability of radio to stay relevant. That's very interesting because, again, when you look at it, the expectations, I think, over a period of time were kind of doom and gloom. But I wonder, the notion now that you can access shows in different markets, I mean, this might be maybe kind of a niche thing that I'm talking about here, but the fact that you're not just confined to your own market anymore, do you find that that has been substantial in any way as far as helping to increase the relevancy of radio, the fact that you can access different markets if there's different things you like, different shows in different places?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who will listen to a station in their hometown even though they're 3,000 miles away. Or maybe there's a famous air talent and they've heard about them and they like them. Or something happens in the news in a community. You see something happen in Indianapolis and you live 1,000 miles away, but you want to know what's going on so you can jump on an app or go to a website and hear that station. But the majority of listening to radio is done inside the markets where they are. God's local connectivity is still a very big strength for radio.
And I would suppose in all of this, because I hadn't heard anything to the contrary, that listening in the car is still a dominant component of this. Yes?
Yeah, the automobile is the number one listening location for radio, number one. And so that's why you will see in the news that radio, the National Association of Broadcasters, the Radio Advertising Bureau are fighting diligently to get the FCC to insist that automakers keep radios in auto. Not only because it's the number one listening location for radio, but there's a safety factor. If you're listening on the internet, the internet goes down in a storm, are you getting the information you need to get your family to safety? And so that's one of radio's strengths that only comes up a few times a year, often around that time when there's a natural disaster.
Absolutely. Yes. When it comes to safety, I hadn't thought about that a whole lot, but that's absolutely right. That's a foolproof way to be able to access something, the information you need, if you can get that signal in a time of distress, that would be an important component to this. And as far as the resiliency of radio over a period of time, that, again, like I said, has been a surprise to myself and other people not in the terrestrial radio business. The factors that have allowed it to keep going over this period of time, the ability to listen to some of the stations on different apps that might be kind of boosting it as well. Is it one of these things where, again, 20 years ago, I looked at it and it was like, I don't know if there's going to be anything left of local radio by like the 2020s. That's what I would have thought then. As you look to like the 2040s, as you look out to a similar period of time, do you have a period of a sense of optimism, I should say, that the factors that have allowed it to thrive or at least, you know, endure over the last 20 years will keep going well into the future?
I think so. I certainly hope so. Look, in the days when there were only five or six radio stations in a community and three TV stations, it was easy to have 25 shares of ratings. Mm-hmm. And I always joke with friends who, you know, will say, well, we used to have a 40 share. And I'll say to them, I could argue you should have had a 50 share. You know, there just wasn't any competition. But there's a lot of noise out there today, and there's a lot of competition. And so radio has a lot of challenges ahead of it. And frankly, there are more radio stations in America than if you take all the other civilized countries in the world and add those stations together. We have more in America. And so we have a lot of signals we're trying to feed, and that's a challenge as well. But having said all that, the reason why I think there is hope for the future of radio is that if it becomes a multi-platform, hear it everywhere, see it everywhere, cameras in the radio studios, using every part of the cow, meaning once a show's done, parts of that audio can be a podcast, can be a TikTok or Instagram. Use all the content you have to connect with an audience. And that's a big benefit. That spreads the word. And that may bring people back to catch a full show or at least a longer segment of the show. But the other part of it is this. Radio is still a good business. It generates revenue. It just does. The challenge radio has is the early consolidators who are buying lots of radio stations up put a lot of debt on those big companies. Mm-hmm. As those people have cycled out, and now those same big companies are run by others, they're focusing on different areas of the business. Unfortunately, some of those companies have gone bankrupt or will have to go bankrupt. When that happens, that debt goes away, and they will then have the money to reinvest, to put money into marketing, promotion, better content, doing research. All of those things will help improve the content. Radio also runs too many commercials, just does. Anytime you see a piece of research that there are too many commercials on there. That goes back to trying to generate revenue to offset the debt. But if radio could get to a point where it played fewer commercials and had better content, it would stand to reason that the audience would grow. That's yes. where it is, I think.
I think that's absolutely true. And in terms of what you're talking about, as far as the debt situation with certain companies, I suppose that's what the economists would refer to as creative destruction, of where you will see certain entities go by the wayside. And the hope is that what comes out of the ashes would be better than that subsequently. So that's something to be hoped for the vitality of all of the stations that are dealing with that kind of management presently. And so, a career that you have had that is being recognized, Mike, with this award, this is a truly amazing thing. This Mike McVeigh Award at the 2026 Barron Media Audio Summit at the end of June, early July. Again, we always like to give our guests a chance to talk about any specific matters of interest to them, any particular projects that you may have going on of interest, anything at all. Mike, take it away.
Well, I mean, first off, to the Barrett recognition by creating a Mike McVeigh Award, I don't know that I'm worthy of it, to be honest, but I'm absolutely grateful for it. And I joke halfway that what's great is I didn't have to die to have an award named for me. And so that's a good thing. And that way I'm able to see it happen and my children and family recognize it. But it really is a great honor. And the young man that we awarded the inaugural award to, Yanni Rood, is a bright young programmer that I worked with earlier in his career when he was in Savannah, Georgia. And he's now running some great radio stations in Houston, Texas. So it's a great career trajectory for him. As far as my career, I am not one of those people who quote the Carole King song about how these are the good old days. And then they reminisce about yesterday. I actually believe these might be the good old days because I'm living at a time when media expansion and the bifurcation of multiple types of media are giving us a lot more ways to be creative, opportunities to do things we never would have done before. There was no reason to have cameras in a radio studio 10 years ago. Today, there's a lot of reasons to have cameras in there. There's a company called QUU, that is actually putting video in the center stack of cars that connects to commercials that air on radio stations. Nobody would have been able to imagine that you would get in your car, be listening to the radio, hear a Pizza Hut commercial, and see a QR code pop up on the center stack or a QR code for a coupon on the app on your phone. To me, these are pretty amazing things, and it enriches the radio experience. It makes it more universal. And so I'm a big believer in radio, no matter where you hear the radio. It doesn't have to be on that appliance we call a radio. I can listen to radio in a lot of places.
Absolutely, you can. And that's where, again, the adaptability of it. And that for folks like myself that thought that it might be going the way of the dinosaur eventually, it's that adaptability that you're talking about, I'm guessing, that has allowed it to keep going as it has. And again, I'm sure that I speak for everyone when I say this, Mike, that it is great that is the Mike McVeigh Award as opposed to the posthumous Mike McVeigh Award. A lot of people don't get that in their lifetimes. I'm glad you did.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I appreciate this opportunity, having been a guest with you today.
Oh, thank you so much. I learned a lot. I know that the audience did as well, and it would be a pleasure to be able to pick your brain subsequently about the state of broadcasting. So I just can't thank you enough for your time, Mike.
Anytime.
Oh, truly appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir. And thank you, everybody, for checking out FDH Lounge mini episode 1937.